About Elisha, and I was thinking another four-part Elisha series, you know, and then I just kind of faded away. And what the Lord just laid on my heart said, no, share some Elijahs that have been in your own life. Share about some of those Elijahs that have taught you, you know, my people that have taught me. And I, just to make it practical of what happens here, and also you see with Elijah and Elisha, you see a continuing of the ministry. You know, it doesn't go, oh, Elijah's gone, we're done, God's done. You know, no, it just keeps multiplying out. And that definitely is a biblical principle. So I just want to share with you some of the Elijahs in my life, and the reason for that is to encourage you that there should be Elijahs in your life. There should be Elijahs in your life that you're learning from them, from other godly people. Now, so I want to share a few here. Now, so over the last 45 years, I have met some really powerful men and women of God that have significantly changed my life. Now, I mean, met. I know them. I talk with them. We're on a first name basis. I mean, I know them. I mean, there's a lot to study and you learn. There's a lot of distant learning, okay, which is good. But it's not as good, you know, when you have someone you're sitting with and you're picking their brain and they're talking to you and you're seeing who they are and how God works through them. So those are the people I'm talking about. There's other people who have impacted my life and read and studied. But these are people that I knew and have significantly impacted my life. And when you look at these people, I've known them for over like 45 years. They weren't supermen, and they all had clay feet. You know, they weren't perfect. They had clay feet, but they were fully committed to God, and God revealed Himself through them in a real supernatural way. And so I want to share about those people I've spent hours with. And another reason too, it'd be, as you listen to these people have their fingerprints over everything I teach. I mean everything that I've received from them flows through, mingles together, and I give back to you. So they've had a huge impact on me. And so I just want to share that with you. But again, how God uses people in our lives, and we need to be aware and that imparted in our growth in our life. Now, the first one, you're going to go, oh, come on. All right. But I have to start here. Okay. Here's the first one. God. Oh, come on. But I had to start there because you have to have a personal relationship with God to grow when you're with somebody else. I mean, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, I don't care who you hang out with, you know, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. I mean, you may memorize everything they say. You may be able to regurgitate everything they're saying, but you're not going to grow. You're not going to have any power. You're not going to have any transformation. And the reason you're not, because you never met with God. You know, Christians, you know, I've heard it said this, well, you know, if you just accept Christ and verbally go through it, it doesn't have to be, you know, like a powerful encounter, and nothing has to change, just as long as you make that statement. And I've even told people that, you know, and I think it's dead wrong. You have to have a relationship with Christ, okay? You have to have, and I'm going to use the word because I don't have a better word, an experience with God where you know He is something, He's someone that you have a connection with, you know. It's say your spouse, you know, it's like, yeah, I know all about them. I write you a book about them, you know. Doesn't that sound warm and fuzzy? You know, you can be technically correct and just spiritually a zero, you know. And in fact, your spouse may tell you that if you talk to her like that or him like that. So, no, you have to have a relationship with God. And this is a challenge with all of us raising kids, okay? Because the kids are kind of raised in our house, they're going to kind of do what we do because that's what they see. But if they don't have an experience with God, a relationship with God, they can't grow. They can't grow. And you need to pay attention to that. Well, I can recite the verses. I can recite this. And you doesn't get it. I'm glad you do. But you need to have the relationship with God. Now, and for me personally, you know, I had, you know, experience with God where he really spoke to me. And, you know, I'm not going to get into details. I just want to talk about the people. But it was real. I mean, it was real. And it's so real, nobody can ever convince me it's not. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care where you can't convince me that God's not real. Why? Because I have met him. You see what I'm saying? I have met Jesus. You can't convince me that Linda's not my wife. Because I have met her, you know. And I don't care what you say, you know. Like that. And if you say too much, I'll sick her on you. We'll get like, paid for it. So, but that's, so there's a relationship. And so I have to start there, that there has to be a relational experience with Jesus. To be a believer, you have to have a relational experience with Jesus. Yeah, I'm married, but we don't have any relational experience. You're not married. You just have words. You just have words. So, anyway, amen? So I had to start with God. Had to start with God. Now, in my personal testimony, I was came to know Jesus outside the church. I came to know Jesus by reading the scriptures, which is kind of unusual. So I didn't have any clue about what church was. I mean, I didn't know a good church from bad church or anything. But I had read through the scriptures. And so I believe, and since I came to know Christ through the scriptures, I had that relationship. And I knew, I probably couldn't have stated it, but I knew the Bible was the Word of God. So this leads me up to the first person of importance that changed my life. First person of importance. Pastor Minner. Pastor Mike Minner. Reston Bible Church. And, I mean, he did all sorts of discipleship with me. We're close friends. And but the primary thing that he reinforced, ingrained with me that I learned is the inerrancy of Scripture. And he preached, still does. He still does. In inerrancy of Scripture. The Bible is, in fact, in the early days of Bible, Reston Bible Church, you couldn't go any place unless you took your Bible. You had a potluck, you go, but you took your Bible. Now, I guess, you know, with iPads and phones, people don't do it as much, you know. Everybody had a Bible, and everybody took it. It's Reston Bible Church, okay? So you took it. And now, so what he did, he can completely reinforced now. When I had met him, that's very interesting how I came about to meet him, but at the time I was disillusioned about people in church because I had encountered four pastors and one seminary professor who did not believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Now I didn't know anything, but I had this funny feeling I knew more than they did, you know. But they didn't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. College professor, you know, and a seminary professor didn't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. And then I came across Pastor Murray, and I'll never forget the first time I saw him. I went to the church, which I was done with churches. But someone heard this tape, and Pastor Minner was preaching. I said, this guy sounds good. We had about 10 of us just kind of floating around there, didn't know anything. And, you know, and we're totally convinced. I mean, part of them was with us when we met these four pastors and this one. Oh, by the way, you should have been with us when we met the seminary professor. They said, hey, we got a guy, he's going to tell you about the Bible, and you guys want to know. Okay, we come in. And so he did good, you know. But it's the question and answer period. And one of the ladies raised her hand and said, you know, I have this friend, and she's, well, I'll just tell you it's the truth, Indian, you know, and she's got this altar, and she prays too, and she bows this thing, she burns some incense, and, you know, will she go to heaven? And he goes, well, you never can be sure about those things, you know, and we kind of look at each other and go, yeah, you can be, and I could hear in my ear, the Bible's going, I mean, it was our group, all we laid into him. Oh, my goodness. They had to call out. This almost turned into a riot because, I mean, you got your family, you got your kids there, and then you got these people standing up pointing fingers at this seminary professor, and we don't know Jack, but we knew more than he did. You know, and we couldn't figure it out. Anyway, the pastor got up and says, okay, while we have refreshments, you know, and everybody's mad at us anyway. So that was the experience. And then I walk in and they says, go to this church. And they sent me. I don't know why they sent me, but they sent me and said, walk in and said, listen, so I'm sitting in the back row. Okay, what are we going to hear now? We're going to hear something else again. And he walked up. I'll never forget. He opened up his Bible and he read a passage. And he says, God says, I tell you what, I didn't know what a charismatic experience was at the time, but I had one. I mean, it's like my head almost blew up. I stood up. I wanted to scream. You know, everybody's sitting there. I said, why are you just sitting there looking at this? I couldn't believe it. And the Lord said, and I sat right there. I said, I'll never leave this church. I said, I'll never leave that church. And I didn't until he sent me here and plant this one. So I've been to two churches. Okay. But that's what I said. But I said, but then Pastor Ben, inerrancy of Scripture. Inerrancy of Scripture. And I'm going to share this with you. Unless you believe that Scripture is God-breathed and totally without error, you cannot grow spiritually. Cannot. It's God-breathed. It's without error. You know, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. Because if you, you're just going to be making stuff up. This fits me. This fits me. This is what I accept. It doesn't make a difference what you accept. It's what God accepts. You see what I'm saying? It's God. It's what he says. I hear somebody talk, well, I don't like the way Jesus said that. I go, who asked you? Who asked you? Jesus said it. You need to figure out. Don't say, why did he say that? You need to figure out why he said that. See, because it's God breathed. Now you know where I'm coming from. So that, and that's never changed. And that's the reason when you preach, when I preach other than this morning, you just see verse after verse after verse after verse. And sometimes I don't agree with what you said. I say, okay, that's good. Read it. And let God tell you what he says. See? Read it. Read it. Okay, so that's huge. Pastor Minner, it changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. He changed my life. And God used him. Now, something else he did, the second person, couple, he introduced me to a couple. He had an elder there at the church, and his wife's mother and dad came. And he says, you need to talk to these people. And by the way, when he introduced me to these people, Linda and I were separated. We've been separated. See, when I was going to this church, Linda and I are separated. So I went to this church the first time. So I was going for about a year before Linda decided to come. And so he said, I want you to meet this couple. And it's Pastor and Miss Milliken. And they've been missionaries in the Congo for 30 years. They were like in the 20s, and they went to the Congo for 30 years as missionaries in France. And now they were, I think they were in London. They're English. And it was like, literally, Pastor and Miss Milliken, and the point I have there for them, just walking in God's presence. I have never seen anything like it, past, present, or future. I have never seen two people like that in my life. And they just walked in the presence of God. And it was, they were totally, totally undistracted by the world. It didn't make any difference what was going on. It just didn't bother them. It didn't bother them. And not only that, they walked in the presence of the world to such an extent that the world was submissive to them. It was submissive to them. Now, what was interesting about them, you know, is like, oh man, if I was doing that, I tried to be working some stuff. Well, they didn't care about nothing. They didn't care. Like you say, oh, you're so sweet. Here's a check for $500. Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. And then they give it to the next person who showed up. You couldn't give them money. The one says, let's send them money. So you send them wherever you want to. They won't keep it. They'll give it away. You know, I mean, I've never in my life seen anyone like them. And you've heard me complain. I would complain to them. You know, and they're cute. Oh, they're a cute couple. I started bringing their picture in. It's about this high. And I would just talk to them, and I would just tell them everything wrong in my life. And being separated from my wife, you know, I had some stuff, you know, I could really kind of try and dump some stuff from her on it, you know. And I just tell them, and they go, oh, my. You know, I'm thinking, oh, my. What? You know, I'm dying here. Oh, your light is brightest when it's darkest. Oh, these people are nuts. What are you talking? I couldn't grasp, you know, what I said. And I remember I was walking, we set my head in the car, her daughter, and she's like two. She's sucking her thumb. You know, he walk up, and he says, oh, this is little girl, Nico. I said, yeah, this is Nico. And he pulled the thumb out of her mouth and says, hey, Nico, you praying your mommy and daddy get back together? You praying? They're going to get back together. You pray, you're going to see God work. I said, you crazy old man, what are you talking about? How can you say that? You know, and it's like, I've heard this before. They pray for we to, and when Linda and I did get back together, which was no surprise to them, you know, it was to everybody else, it just wasn't to them. We had them over for dinner, and they said, let's pray for you. He said, okay. I mean, you know, it's like having God praying for you. You know, it's like, good grief. And so they started praying. Linda and I sitting there, and they started praying, and they said, oh, dear God. And what happened was the strangest thing I've ever witnessed in my life is they prayed before the, and like they weren't praying, they were talking to God. Like God came down and sat in the corner of the couch and said, hey, what's going on? You know, this is what's going on. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing I ever saw in my life. And they would go through and they would pray. And he would pray something. He says, oh, like you remember Joe? And she'd say, Smith. You know, oh, yeah, remember Joe went to see? Yeah, when he went to Cleveland. Yeah, do you remember? And I'm going, who's praying here? Who's in unison? It was like one voice, but it's coming out of two mouths. It's the strangest. And finally, like Linda and I were praying, we just stopped and we just like watching, like, oh, my God. We have never seen any body like that. I had to ask him one time. She had already passed away, and I spent every time they showed up, I'd hang around their house. They had to rub me. I thought if I just stood by them, it'd rub off on me. You know, I mean, anything, because I didn't have a clue how they did it. I thought I'd just stay close, you know, and just rub. And I just see them every time I get a chance. I'd go over there. And so this one night, and she had passed, so, and I took him to the his home there. And so then I had been doing some marriage counseling, you know, woo-woo, Linda and I got back together. I knew something, you know. So it's like, and so what I found out, my marriage counseling didn't work out like his did. And then, I mean, you know, people just mad, fussing, leaving. I wasn't making any impact whatsoever, you know. And I said, how did he do that? So I said, when you said Linda and I get back together, I said, I've been doing this for a while. I said, I'm not having much success right here. I said, how did you know Linda and I get together? He goes, oh. You know, I always get you, doesn't it? When they go, oh. He goes, oh. He goes, it burned deep, deep in my heart. Okay. But you see, I never in my life seen anybody like that. They walked in this world, and what it was, anything that happened, they were above it. They didn't want anything, but they're above it. And I shared, a lot of this stuff before, but I got crossways with the elders at Reston Bible Church one time. Okay? I mean, really crossways. But then it kind of got swirled around where there were some really things that just weren't the truth that swirled around. And so we're going to have an elder meeting, and I'm going to go to this elder meeting, and it's like, oh my gosh, I mean, I succeeded in making everybody mad at me. You can't imagine me doing that. But I went, and so I thought, man, I don't know how to get out of this jam. So the day before, I called Pastor Milliken. He's in London. I called, hey, Pastor Milliken, oh, God's good, loves you. Yeah, I know, but I got something to ask you. You know, all right? And so I told him, oh, my. Satan's busy, isn't he? I said, yeah, he's overtime right now. You know, I mean, it's like, Satan's busy. I said, yeah. He said, I tell you what we do. Now, this is what we do. He says, I'm going to pray God into that meeting. And you, when you go, don't you say one word. And I says, nothing? He said, nothing. I said, well, if they ask me a direct question, he says, you won't say anything. I'm going to pray God into that meeting. All right, isn't this exciting? But no, it is not exciting. There's nothing exciting about this whatsoever, you know. I couldn't sleep that whole night. All that. I mean, it's like, oh my. I walked in, and it was like different elders showed up or something. I don't know what. Maybe these guys got saved. No, I'm being facetious. But they came, and it was, and the atmosphere changed, and by the time they were like, kind of, they weren't bragging on me, but giving me honor and thanking me for my service and things like that. And I'm thinking, what's happening? And the other elder that was a real close friend walked out and he says, you know, I prayed all my life. I want to see one miracle. He said, I've seen it tonight. That's Pastor Miss Milka. See? Now they're here. They're walking. We're not talking Elijah. We're talking today. Today. They just walked in God's presence. Nothing impacted them. Nothing impacted them. And whatever did, they said, oh, you just pray about it. God, oh, just pray. It go away. Oh, he'll take it. You just go. Just pray. Oh, you got to just pray. You know. Okay. You see, but that's it. So they changed my life. So what I saw there is how, no, you can walk in this. Now, I'm not there, but I saw how it can happen. So I constantly look at a situation, and they come to mind all the time. They come to mind all the time. And it's like, okay, no, I can walk through it because God's moving in this, because God's taking care of this. And they just permeate. So Pastor and Miss Milliken. Now, there's another one. The next one, Bill Wright. Hear God speak every single day. Now, I have to give you a little preface on this. Bill Wright had an unbelievable impact. But Pastor Minner introduced Pastor Milliken to Bill Wright. And Pastor Milliken said about Bill Wright, he's a modern-day apostle. He's like, okay, that carries some weight. It carries some weight. But Bill Wright, the thing that changed my life right there is he said, you need to hear God speak every day. Every day. Before you go out of the house, you need him to tell you something. And if he doesn't tell you something, don't go out of the house. That's what he said. He said, unless God tells me, I don't go out of the house. And what he would say, he says, to carry out God's assignment, you need to hear from God every day. Therefore, read the scriptures each morning until he speaks to you. And it was like, what are you talking about? I mean, I read the scriptures, but I'm not hearing a lot, you know. And I spent time with him. And oh, by the way, people talk sometimes, this doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't make any difference. But credentials. He graduated number one at UVA. Number one UVA. He graduated in the top 10% Harvard Law School. He was an Oxford scholar, the graduated top of his class. And he would tell me, the only thing that makes a difference is this book. You read this book. None of it makes any difference. This book is the only thing that makes a difference. You read it and let God speak to you. And God will speak to you. He'll give you assignment. He'll tell you exactly what to do each day. God's word holds the world together. Therefore, you need God to speak to you so you can function in God's world. He's like, okay. And it's been time. But after a while, he really did. I said, I don't know. I told him one day, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't understand what you're saying. You say, God's talking. What are you talking about? And he told me. And he said, yeah. I always love it when they go, okay. Good grief. You know, I've been talking to you 2 years and you ain't nothing. But he said, he flipped over the verse. Just, Luke 24:32, I'm not going to go over. He said, this is how it is. Take this and run with it. And it just, boom, changed my mind. And so for the last 30 years, I read the scriptures every morning. I hear from God every morning for the last 30 years because I met with him. Now, I'm not who he is, but I see what he's saying. I know how to do it, and I come before the Lord. And so that's one way I prepare each day of my life is I read in the scriptures every morning, very seldom. Do I miss? Very, very seldom do I miss. So there's Bill Wright. Change my life. Every morning you go to the Scripture. God, what are you telling me today? Because you speak today. What are you telling me today? And he really does show you things today. He shows you things for the upcoming day. He speaks to you for the upcoming day. And then you can be prepared and walk in that. But that's where I learned it. Bill Wright. Oh, by the way, God told him that he's a lawyer. God told him that he needed to go to China and open a law firm in China. He's in Beijing today. He's fluent in Chinese. And he opened the law firm. I mean, just open the law firm here, fluent in English. No, he went to learn Chinese. I mean, he's like, Wallace, learn Chinese. Forget it. I don't know what comes second. We're not getting past number one. Learn Chinese. You know, so anyway, fascinating guy. So it's like, oh my God. God used him to teach me where I could hear from God, to understand what that meant. My biggest problem, I didn't know what it meant. But what I found out, God's speaking all the time. Did you know that? He's not saying, no, he's saying a lot. You just ain't listening. That's a problem. See, that's all the thing I always understand myself. I have a problem. There's always a problem. It's always me. I'm the problem. You know, it's never, God's never the problem. You ever notice that? He's not the problem. I'm the problem. So, learn. But now this leads to another guy. And it's like, this is one of Greg Walker's favorite people. Major N. Thomas. Major N. Thomas. Now, he's passed on. He's with the Lord now. And here's a statement. This stuff, and I'm going to kind of touch on this, but it has a profound thing. He says, let God be God in the man. That was his deal. Let God be God in the man. Now, first time, this is way back, Greg, he's preaching. And so Greg came to church. And I think it's pre-Sophie. Okay, it's pre-Sophie. So it's a while back. So Greg was there. And so much, he's old. He's walking with a cane. So Greg's sitting there in a chair. He's got a baseball cap on. He walks by Greg. He uses his cane, goes, pop. He says, you don't wear a hat in the presence of the Lord. I go, oh, Greg, you in trouble. Oh, man, you in big trouble right there. But anyway, that's him. You love these guys. But that's what his whole thing was, like, God be God in the man. Now, you would have to hear him to appreciate what he said. Because he talked a mile a minute, didn't he? And he didn't pause to explain things. And when you ask him a question, he kind of looked at you like, gosh, it's just hopeless. You know, you can't find him. And so ended up, you know, I had all sorts of tapes. I listened to his tapes over and over and over again, trying to figure it out. And it finally dawned on me. But what he was saying, the thing that really came, and it was literally meeting him, talking to him, spending time with him, and not having a clue what he was talking about. But listening to these tapes, I mean, I won't say hundreds of times, but multiple, and I listened, and then one day it clicked. Oh, my God, it clicked, and it popped. And when I saw it, then everything else fell. You ever have happened? You got all this thing, but one thing falls in place and everything else falls in place. What happened with him? And what it was, it summarized, let God be God in the man. He's saying, God's in you. God does the work. Don't help him out. God's in you. He does the work. Don't help him out. Let God be God in the man. Let God go first. You follow him. Let God be God. And that's where that comes from. But what I'm going to do, so you see what I'm saying. He was saying it's not human effort, but it's God working through the man is what he's saying. But I'm just, Greg, you're going to love this. But I just wrote down a couple. This is how he preached. But that's the point he's making, okay? Now, just sit here. This is the first time you're ever hearing him. He stands up and he preaches like this. He says, when digging a ditch, don't ask God how to dig the ditch. Vacate the ditch and let God dig. We vacate, God occupies. The Christian life is one vacation after another. Amen. You're going, what did you just say? What he just said is let God work through you. He'll dig the ditch. He'll make the way. You follow what God's doing. And he would go, God is the hand in the glove. God is the ink in the pen. God is gas in the car. You don't go to the gas station, fill your car with gas, and then push it out. I can tell by your look. I looked the same way you looked. And it's like, really? But that's what it was. But he, when we were able to grasp that more, so it's like, it's powerful. You're as powerful as God is, because God's the one digging the ditch. You don't care what, because God's the one digging the ditch. He's powerful working through you. So it really is God in you, working through you. Power changed my whole view of ministry, changed my whole view of how you approach things. Now, another one coming up here. It's Larry and Laverne Crider. Now, we partner with Dove International, but Larry and Laverne Carter, Crider, Larry and Laverne Crider. And what they did is they introduced me to what they would call cell groups. But the point of it is, in a cell group, what they say is that the Holy Spirit is in the group. You got, say, five believers coming. Okay, each one has the Holy Spirit in them. Therefore, the five believers have something from the Spirit to offer. And so in the group, you're discerning. It's a divine meeting, and you're discerning what God is saying within the group. The Holy Spirit is moving within that group. Literally change everything about my thinking about small groups. 100% change. Totally changed. It's like, okay, and it totally changed. When you're talking to somebody, you're talking to, you have the Holy Spirit in them, and you're talking to them, and they have the Holy Spirit in them. So you want to kind of give some deference when you speak to them through the Holy Spirit, because they have something to reply through the Holy Spirit, and it's more of a divine encounter than it's just a teaching session. You see what I'm saying? Because you've got the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in you is the same Holy Spirit in them. And their Holy Spirit is as smart as the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, the problem with it, you always got people that don't have the Holy Spirit show up or don't follow. You know, and they cause disruption. But the group is a tendency will correct itself. It'll correct itself. Why? Because the Holy Spirit working with the group will come into what God wants to do, and it corrects itself. It's self-correcting. You see what I'm saying? That was like, totally changed everything the way I approach ministry. And they're great people. And we'll have them down. You can even visit them sometimes and ask them all sorts of questions. And Linda and I have spent a lot of time with Larry and Laverne. How are we doing? Okay, next gentleman here is Larry Stockstill. Now, Larry Stockstill is a pastor was a pastor. His son has it right now in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so they were talking about cell groups, and it was first lane. So they had a big cell conference. I'm really interested about this. I'm not sure. So I call up and says, I want, and they go, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and this is, you know, I don't know what the church name was like. Jesus hopping or something, smoke's blowing, or I mean, I said, I don't know if I want to go there or not. So I called them up, and they said, well, you know, they met the charismatic church stuff. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm not. Can I come? Oh, come on, brother. We'll love you. Well, as a setup. So I went to that church in Baton Rouge. Oh, it's like the sanctuary held like, you know, 3,000 people, you know, massive church. And there's like 2,500 pastors there. But what I learned, and so I went to a church service there, and what I saw, now see, in old Reston Bible churches, you know, you come in, and you can't do what we do. You sing a praise song, you know, and you get out and preach, and you sing a praise song. Everybody stands and sits in the seat with their hand lifted, you know. You wouldn't raise your hands unless somebody came in to rob you. I mean, it's just not going to happen, right? I thought that was funny. Y'all didn't think that was funny. I thought that was funny. But anyway, and that's all I knew. So I've never been to another church. I didn't. And so I told them I wanted to go, and they said, oh, yeah, go ahead. They paid for me to go. I said, well, that's good. So I went to this church. Oh, my God. I never experienced anything like that in my life. I mean, everybody in the place was on fire. I walked in, and I mean, the music was to die for. Oh, and they had a big band. I mean, you're talking 3,000 people, you know. So, and it was just, and so here comes the, and what was neat about this pastor, because I'm a little shook. Anyway, he looks like Pastor Minner. He looked just like him. He's like about 6'2", light complected, like, you know, blonde hair. Looked just like, well, that is strange. And Pastor Minner would always say, he'd come up and he'd say, if you would die tonight, would you know where you were going? He said that. This guy walked in, looked just like, he goes, if you would die tonight, which I said, oh my God, you know, it's like, holy cow. So he sucked me in right then. I'm sold. And what hit, I mean, it was so, and this guy was so stinking gifted. He said, oh man, the Lord's just giving me, I just want to sing him praise. I want to sing, let me have your guitar. He said, well, let's just sing, you know, and praising God. The pastor just grabbed the guitar and playing, and they were singing, oh, don't you just hold the guitar like that. And he started playing. He said, and halfway through the sermon, he said, oh, I feel the Lord. He just moved in my life. Come over here. He gets on the piano. He's playing. Let's praise God. I said, holy good night. What is this? I mean, this guy's all over the stage, and people run, and he's like, and he gets up praying. There's, you know, the 3,000 people. Oh, man. You in the red shirt. What's your name? He said, oh, so, gosh, you mind if I share something with you? Like, 3,000 people in the church. You mind if I share something with you? He said, the Lord just spoke to me. And he, da-da-da-da. And the guy goes, thank you, brother. Thank you. So it has hit my heart. I'm like, holy good night. What is happening here? What is happening? And he just going there preaching, and he said, oh, God, I guess let's just stand. Let's praise God. Hey, you over there, can I share with you? I need to. This is private. It's private. There's 3,000 people. He goes over here, puts his arm in this person. They're crying. They're praising God. And he comes back over here. And I'm like, home. And my thought was, hey, that's church. Ain't bad. Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. Never saw anything like it in my life. Now, they did finally get the cell groups. I mean, that's why I came. But when I was there, I thought, you know, I'm going to move to Baton Rouge, and I'm going to go to this church. That's what, I'm just going to get a job and just going to go to this church. That's where I'm going to go, Baton Rouge. Oh, I got to tell you that part of the story. This is funny. These are short. You're okay with these stories. Now, this is hilarious. Now, you know Linda. You're my wife. She's great. Just great. But you can't come up to her and say, hey, I got this great ass. So that, let's go. She goes, I ain't going. No, you don't go get sold and take me off to someplace. So I knew I couldn't do that, so I'm flying home on a plane. I said, I got to get Linda down here. And I said, I don't know, I can't say anything. She's not going to believe it. She's not going to believe it. And so I have to ease into it. We came, and she says, how was the conference? I said, it's okay. You know, so about 2 months later, you know, she says, I asked you something. And they're having another one of these conferences, and would you go? And her comment, I swear to God, she goes, I didn't lose anything in Baton Rouge. It's like, that's all right. So it took another month of them. I finally said, I just want you to go one time for me. I just really spoke to me. They're having it. I'd like you just to see it. So, okay, I'll go. So she went. Now, at the time, Linda had a real bad back, and she's really active, but she had a disc, you know, it replaced and stuff, and it hurt, so it hurt, and she can't sit, you know, real long time. So we're flying to Baton Rouge. So she's hurting all the way to Baton Rouge. So she's not happy camper on the airplane. So we go into Baton Rouge, and here's 3,000 auditorium, but they're wood pews. So she's sitting in these wood pews, and she just like that. And so they're talking, you know, and my prayer down there was, God, I can't say anything. You got to show her. You got to show her this, because she doesn't know any more than I do about going there. I said, you're going to have to show her something. You just have to show her something, because I can't explain it. And so we went through the whole thing, and she made friends with this Mennonite lady. There's a conference thing, so we had some Mennonites. And she's typical Mennonite, kind of a long dress to her ankles and had a little cap on and stuff. So her and they sat in front of us. So her and Linda would talk, you know, and they'd chat a little bit. And she made some friends. And it typically just went on. The music was good and stuff. But she's so uncomfortable in those pews. So at the end of it, they just said, it's okay. So the last day, they came up. And so Larry gets up. He says, you know, I want to pray over y'all. I want to come down. We got pastors, and they'll go down this aisle, this aisle, this aisle. And says, men, Pastor so-and-so, we'll go there. And anybody wants to pray for, just come to the center, you know, by your seat, and we'll pray over you. Just we'll pray over you, okay? I just feel like we need to pray. Okay. So I said, Linda, would you mind stepping out with me to pray Okay. I mean, it was like this. Fine. Okay. So she's on one side, I'm on another. So this guy comes down, and he just starts, so Pastor Stockstill starts coming down. So he just starts praying over people. You know, they're coming out and praying, and just kind of, so he walks up to the Mennonite lady that Linda made friends with, and he goes, "Oh, sisters, God's got a real message for you." And he lays his hand on her. She says, "Dear, she's Mennonite. Well, she's Mennonite. She's not." And she just melts to the floor. He bends down on one knee. He says, "God's speaking to you, hon. God's speaking. You're okay. You're okay. God's speaking to you." Linda's going, "What happened there? What happened there?" You know, and it wasn't no big, it wasn't a big deal, you know, there. We had somebody in our church a while back, the Holy Spirit came on them, they passed out. We called 911. I mean, we're going to say, "Hey, brother, you're okay." "No, we think you're dying." You know, it's like, so, and that's true. By the way, that actually happened. You know, that's the reason the Spirit doesn't come on. We wouldn't know what to do. It's like, "Oh my God, we need the ambulance here." Anyway, so, I'm not making that up. That happened. That happened. That happened. But anyway, there's a bigger story to that. So he comes up to us, and I step up forward because we're on each side, and I says, "Would you pray for my wife and I together?" "Hey, sure, brother, come on." Like that. So we got there, and so he lays hands on us, and he prays. He prays, and I mean, it's good, but you know, like that. Then he walks past Linda, and he walks past, and he comes back. He goes, "Sister, sister," says, "God told me you need a healing." He says, "Raise your hands." My first thought, don't tell her to raise her hands. Don't. If you do, ask nicely. Don't just tell her to raise her hand. Anyway, he said, "Raise your hands." So she just, and he prayed over her. And he prayed over and he says, "All right." And then he just walks off. Well, Linda said she'd been hurt all the whole time. Hurt it, just in pain. And she said it burned from her arches and her ankles, it burned all the way up the back of her legs, up through her back, all the way up her back, up through her shoulders, over to the top of her head when he was praying over her, and she hadn't had a pain in her back since. So, she sold. She said, "We're good." You know, so. Now, but what I'm saying is, you say, "I didn't know." And now, since then, I've met him. I know Larry Stockstill. I went to several conferences down there, and he's ministered to me, he's spoken things to me. But if you didn't have, I mean, you study the scripture, but unless you have somebody that has experienced something at a different level per the scripture, you don't know. You know, and so I was able to know him. Now, here's the, I'm going along. This is fun. I'm having so much fun. I hope you all are. But here's the next one. Now, this one was right here, and it was a powerful, and Leon Price, and Gary Debbie Price used to go to the church early on. They moved to Kansas, and they're in Atlanta now. Leon's gone to be with the Lord, and he, real prophetic, and I mean prophetic, like, he'll pray, God gives him words, and he'll speak to you like he never met you before, and he'll speak into your life about something very personal. It's just kind of interesting. And so I got to know him, spent a lot of time with him. So later on, we had, so he really did, and I put by Leon, you know, it's the biblical prophet in action, and I put stunning, absolutely stunning. So he prophesied, and he teaches, he tells us, now this is what, we still have some tapes, I think, some don't work, Greg. We still have tapes of Leon preaching to us. And he's so we had him come to speak in men's retreat, and we're going to meet at Skycroft. And Leon's getting old, he's 80, I mean, 83, 84, and he, you know, getting where he can't get around good, and he kind of limping and got a cane. And so we got him to speak at Skycroft for the men's retreat, and we had a good, we couldn't get a room, and so we got this, like, I don't know, it was like a living room or something, and we were packed in there. It wasn't working. We set up guitar and stuff. Anyways, you made it work. It's like everything went wrong. You know, the setting's wrong, everything. So we had Leon, he's going to speak. And so he's holding our arm, we're getting up to the hill, and he's speaking. And so he time to preach, and he gets up the pulpit. I swear to God, you know, he got, it's like he grew 3 inches. And he's like, I mean, all of a sudden he grew 3 inches. All of a sudden he had a spark, you know, and he started preaching. I mean, he's preaching. And then what he did, he said, "Listen, we need to just ask the Lord, and I want to speak a word over you guys. I want to speak a word." Now, he doesn't know who we are. He doesn't know. He knows me. He didn't know these people. I know these people. He says, "Hey, brother, what's your name?" "Hey, my name is." "Well, come up here. I want to talk to you." And he put his hand, and he just start prophesying. And people just, oh my, you know, just overwhelmed with what he's saying. And he's just speaking words, specific words into him. Hey, but what's yours? You know, come on up here, let me talk. You know, and he, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, I know, you don't know these guys, but I know these guys, and you're hitting a nail on the head. And we, I'm not going to use the name, I could use the name, but I'm going to just give you an example. We had one guy, and I'll just put it this way. He's here. He's young. He liked that. Hadn't been married. He's just cocky. He's just cocky. He just, you know, nice. He just cocky. Kind of know it all. And he said, hey, what's your name? He says, hey, come up here. And the kid just went. You know, he said, oh, man. He said, I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something. Who told you you could fly like an eagle and walk on water? And he just went, just down. Like, I mean, just immediately down. And he walked up and he said, I'm going to tell you, you will fly like a, you will be a leader. You, I mean, by that time, he's on his knees, he's bawling, you will. And it's like, I mean, we had to like drag him back to the thing. You know, it's like, that was his first experience with it. And when we were leaving, he came up to me, he said, Wallace, he says, that's unbelievable. I said, yeah, yeah. He says, you know, I never told anyone, but I always believed I could fly like an eagle and walk on water. And that's what Leon said to him. And that's zero. And then everything was good after that. I didn't even know that until he told me. See, I don't have to be convinced of the prophetic. I've seen it. There's one guy I met with, and he was in college, and he's like me. I mean, he's a whiner. And he just, there's nothing to work out. When I was in college, he said, I memorized, I was in this group, I memorized 1,000 verses, I did this, I had all these ministries, since I've got out, I don't do nothing, and it's just, I don't know what God's doing, I can't. So he said, hey, he pointed to him, he said, what's your name? He told him, he said, come up here. He put his hands on him, he said, hey, called him by his name. He says, what happened? What happened? He said, you started so good. What happened? And that guy just, you know, I'm going, I know what happened. But everybody in it, and by the end of the meeting, in that living room, we're playing praise music. People were crying, raising their hands, speaking in tongues, flying on the floor. It was the most unbelievable spiritual experience ever in my whole life. And he said, after we took Leon home, he said, okay, help me. I can't get the car. Now, where's that? I believe in the prophetic. Not because of what I studied, because of what I saw. What I saw. See, and that's where you need to surround yourself some people and you can learn from. Yeah. And this is one, I'll clue this real quick. And I put this, it's Nikki Gumbel. Now, all these other people I know, like on a first name basis, I know them, you know. I don't know Nikki. I don't know. I have met Nikki. I have talked to Nikki, but so have a million other people, but so I don't know him. But the reason I'm including him here is because he's had such an impact on my life, unbelievable impact. And what he does, and he's the one that orchestrates Alpha. You've heard the Alpha course. He's the one behind. I mean, there's 300,000 of them going around the world right now, but he's Alpha course. And the thing of it, I believe it's the best teaching on the Holy Spirit I've ever seen. And the understanding and the application of the spiritual gifts, the best I've ever seen. And I probably, you know, I've been to 10 conferences, you know, I've taught 100 Alpha classes or plus, you know, but he's the best one I've ever seen to explain. Now, we give the Alpha course here. If you haven't taken it, you ought to take it. Be like Elisha and hang out with Elijah. Go there and take it because you're going to learn something like you never learned before. But you got to go and hang out with Elijah to let some of it rub off on you like that. But that Alpha is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. And again, I've been in Dove. Dove has full of charismatic. No, this is the best. This is absolutely the best there is. Now, I finish all this for one reason. I want to tell you these stories. I want to share with them because this isn't 2,000 years ago. This is not 2,000 years ago. I know these people. I know. Now, I've seen some goofballs. All right. Unfortunately, they say you got goofballs. But if you're in the Word, you can look and go, that's a goofball. I mean, But, and that's how Satan throws everything upside down. He throws in a bunch of goofballs, so you throw out the baby with the bathwater. But there are powerful people out there today. Today. They are powerful people. And I want to share that to know you need to hang out with them. You need to hang around. Get to know them. You know, don't FaceTime them. Hang out with them. Hang out with him. And so you want to learn from these Elijahs. Hang out with these Elijahs and see their life, you know. And two, the other reason I want to share, everything I teach comes out of the Word and what I've learned from these people. So I'm regurgitating a lot of the things they've taught me. So when you hear me, it's like I'm speaking from things I've seen and learned. The Scripture is the foundation. If they, I don't care what they see. They can call fire from heaven. If they're not with the Scripture, I reject them as from Satan. But so I want you to know that you want to learn from these people. And then also my heart's desire is to teach what they've taught me. Amen? Teach what they taught me. It's real. You got the kids? You know, they can only handle so much information. You notice. You ever kind of, they roll their eyes, they kind of go in the back of their head. But they have to experience. They have to experience Christ. They have to experience the Holy Spirit. They have to experience the reality. And God's still working to do today and doing powerful things. But we start one place, you know where we start. John 14:6. If you don't start here, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when that guy, and I didn't know anything, never been to church, says, well, you can, the Indians, you don't know, they can light a candle and worship at the altar, and you never know. I thought, no. See, and then that opens the door for you to go another step. You see what I'm saying? There's a start. So, hallelujah, when we stand up and pray, I'm going to give us some time to pray. And then we're not, I hope you all enjoyed this. I enjoyed it. And this is probably the one message I've given out, least scripture in any of them. But I'm going to tell you what, there's like five sermons behind each person. So anytime you want to visit and pick up one, we got a lot to talk about. But just go ahead and stand. But as we pray, I want you to think about the Elijahs God has brought across your path. All right, think about them. And then if there's not an Elijah, think about the Elijah that you should make contact with. All right, or if you don't know that, pray about that Elijah, because they're all over the place. We have sometimes Dove International, they have an international thing, and they'll have, and I think they've had a couple of Elijahs there. I listen to them, and I'm going to be honest, even if the people in Dove are watching, I've seen them, I have a couple of guys up there, and I think, I wouldn't walk across the street to listen to them. I don't tell anybody. No sense making everybody mad. But I wouldn't, you know, because they don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture or they mistreat us. But you have to kind of get out based on the Scripture and hear what people have to say. And you sense that Elijah, then you spend time with him. And as you spend time with him, God will bring you another one. See, if you notice, not everybody has all of God's wisdom. And by the way, that's the person you never want to be around, ever, that says, I've got all God's wisdom. No, that guy's got his shoes, or gal. Amen? So, let's pray right now. I want you, just quietly in your heart and mind, I want you to thank God for the Elijah in your life, past, present, or maybe in future. Thank God right now. Go to God and thank him for that Elijah. Thank you. Now also think about it. Maybe you hadn't had an Elijah, or maybe you haven't had Elijah in a while, and you want an Elijah. Pray God would bring that Elijah across your path. He'll answer that prayer because he wants you to know. He's just looking at people with some want to, you know, some people with some want to. All right, pray for that Elijah. God will bring that Elijah across your path. He'll speak the very words of God. Speak the very words of God to you. Show you, and it's maybe not change your life, but he'll give you a nugget that you didn't have before. He'll give you nuts. Oh my God, I didn't know that. That's something different. And that will lead to something else. Pray for that. Pray for that Elijah to come into your life. Pray right now. Pray right now. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Didn't change. He didn't change. From 1 Kings to Matthew to Ephesians to Revelation, he didn't change. He didn't change. He's acting exactly the same way. God, God, bring me an Elijah. Bring me an Elijah. Show me an Elijah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And Lord, I want to thank you for these people that I've mentioned here. And I really do want to thank you for that. They changed my life. They absolutely changed my life. They didn't tweak my life. They changed my life. People that you have spoke to. I thank you for each one of them. You know, several of them are gone to be with you. And I just thank you for them and their ministry here. And I thank you that others have been steadfast and strong, have not varied from the truth. I thank you for them as they keep they persevering. I pray they finish well, God. And I thank you for them. So, Lord, I thank you for Broadlands Community Church. I thank you for each person here and in my heart. And I mean it from that. They are special. They are special. They're seeking you. They're hungry for the word. I pray you touch each one in supernatural power, Lord. They're stirring. Speak to them. Speak to them. That you directly speak to them. There's nothing greater than having you speak to them. Bring things to mind. Speak to their hearts that you are real in every way of their life. That they walk here out like Pastor and Mrs. Milliken. They walk in this world with the world submissive to them. They walk in power. So Lord, we just thank you and thank you. And all these people had one thing in common. They loved you. That's all they had. The one thing they had in common. They loved you. I wanted to serve you. So, God, I give you thanks. Again, thank you for these people. Lord, have a good day, good time. And you know, Lord, what a great time it is. Like Pastor Milliken would say, oh, this virus is going on. They're burning down every big city there is. He said, oh, my, what an opportunity. That's exactly what he would say. Oh, my, what an opportunity. So we're going to say, my, what an opportunity. We're over and above this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, have some treats in the back, and thank you for